Today, Pascal has two verses from the book of Job, chapter 13, for you. It's April the 4th. If only you would be altogether silent. For you, that would be wisdom. Hear now my argument. Listen to the pleas of my lips. Throughout the centuries and up until today, man has invented all kinds of subterfuges to try to fill the unbearable silence. And as we prepare for the Holy Week of Easter, let us remember these words from the Psalm 22. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. But silences can also herald new life. The silence resembles a river in the desert, hidden underground, which flows into an oasis. The silence is that of the orchestra, which, once everyone has tuned their instrument, is silent for a few seconds before performing their piece. It is a silence which gives birth to life. A silence which says, now will begin what you have come for and for which you took your place in this room. Make ready your ears, open your heart and your eyes. The show begins. The moments of silence that we encounter in our life are more or less long, but they are usually preceded or accompanied by a word. God speaks and then there is silence. A silence which demands trust, and this silence tells me, wait. This is something that has gone on for centuries, from the promises transmitted by Isaiah relating to the arrival of the Messiah and to the fulfillment of those promises. There were several centuries of total silence from God. And then one day, John the Baptist turns up in the desert. Behold, the word is here. Arriving before him, it is within sight. And long before him, Abraham had to live through a testing silence. In particular, during the time when he goes to a special place with his son to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Abraham knows he must obey and walk. Where is the sacrifice? Asks Isaac, his son. We have the wood, we have the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham must have asked the same question, and he was probably calling out to God inside of himself, oh, if you could only tear apart the heavens and come down. And it's through this internal conflict, faced with this unbearable silence, that Abraham changes. It is in this moment, when they get to the place designated for the sacrifice, that his very name is changed. He is called thenceforth God's friend. Abraham understood that silence does not mean absence. Silence does not mean that God is disinterested. Psalm 37 tells us, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Silence reigns also at Sinai, when Moses goes up to receive a special word from God. Aaron, with the people below, are waiting to hear, yet find themselves faced with silence. 40 days of silence is a long time. The people can't stand to do nothing. They can't stand the silence, the not knowing, and they pressure Aaron into making a golden calf. The people then claim that God's answer lies in this golden calf. Let's party, suggests Aaron, and they entertain themselves. We would so much like to hear God break the silence, speak to us, and we would so much like to have a special word ourselves for other people, to be able to say, this is the word of God for you, my brother or my sister. Isn't it a temptation to want to be one of these people who speak for others or to others, like Job's friends? You see, what I find beneficial in this remarkable period in which we're currently living is hearing those who do humbly recognize their limits in hearing or understanding something from God, and those who say honestly that they don't know what is happening during this silence. This becomes a word of wisdom, the word of wisdom mentioned in the verses from Job. Times of silence are part of life. It's in these tensions that our lives change too. Let us be amongst those who listen for God in times of silence, so that at the end we will not hear the words, "If only you would be altogether silent." In other words, just shut up and listen.